plate. Okay, we haven't learned for a while, but we're on in Chumash Devarim, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, page 1054. Okay, we might have learned the Pasuk Ketua, but we have to discuss it more. Mayavi Ameini or Mayavi Bekal Hashem. A nation of Amen and Mayav is not allowed to enter the congregation. Like we said before, what it means is he cannot marry a Jewish girl. Gam Dered Asiri, even
Jewish
the 10th.
Girl or Jewish guy?
No. Ameini or Mayavi, a male Ameini and Mayavi, we'll see about this, cannot marry a Jewish girl.
Okay.
Mayavi Bekal Hashem. Gam Dered Asiri, even the 10th generation, meaning if this guy converts and the kids convert, even 10 generations, L'yavu lehem b'kal Hashem ad olam forever. And the Pasuk says, why? And the Pasuk is going to say two reasons, and we're going to see why the concept of the two reasons. Number one, the Pasuk says, al devar asher kidmu eschem balechem ubamayim, because they did not greet you with bread and water, v'aderech b'tzeischem b'mitzrayim, when they were leaving Egypt. When the Jews left Egypt, Amon and Moav did not offer them water and food. And also, that's reason number one. Second reason, v'asher sachar alecha Bilam ben Be'erd, they also hired Bilam, the son of Be'erd, from Sered Aram Na'arayim l'kal alecha, to curse you. So the Torah says there's two reasons, basically, why Amon and Moav cannot come into the Jewish nation. One is because they did not give you food, and secondly, they hired Bilam to curse you. Which, if you look at this interesting thing, it's one is physical and one is spiritual. The physical thing, they didn't give you food and water. In addition to that, the second reason is that they also hired Bilam to curse you. Now, what's this? So the commentators explain like this. The Jews by nature, Gemara says, Agoyim lechasodim. The Jews are generous people. They help people. They give food and so on. These people that don't have this attribute of being gemilas chesed, to give people food when they need it, the Hashem doesn't want them. Secondly, they also, like we know, what was Bilam's advice to the Jewish people eventually? They should fool around with the non-Jewish girls, and then they got sinned, and then Hashem was able to punish them.
That was advice to the Goyim.
Right, but that's Bilam's advice.
Yeah.
So that was, like he says, there was the food, physical, and getting them to sin. So now the question is, what is the reason, why does the Torah have to give two reasons? Why isn't one reason enough? That they didn't give food, or they hired Bilam to curse? He says like this. The first reason they didn't give you food and drink is not enough to push away two entire nations. Okay? I mean, two and three, because that generation didn't give food or drink. I mean, it's not logical. So some of us should learn, the main reason is because they wanted to get the Jews to sin, but by hiring Bilam. Okay? Another reason is that really the main reason is because they wanted to get the Jews to sin, and the Jews taka sinned. But it's not nice to sound like that to the Jewish people. That you see, because the Jewish people sinned. So the Torah says the first reason, because they didn't give you food. Okay? What?
They don't need the food because they have money, they have everything they have it. Why they need the food?
No. Before they got the money. Well, as soon as they were leaving Egypt, when the Jews asked for food, they didn't give it to them. They didn't give it to them.
Because they are living close to...
Yeah, they met them on...
Close to Egypt.
No, they met them on the way. They met them on the way going out of Egypt. What?
Well, you know, sometimes we say, like, the Yetzer Hara tempts a person.
Right, so here they did both things. Okay, now, there's another two things over here. Number one, there's a point that by Egyptians... The Torah we're gonna see soon by Egyptians, after three generations they could become Jewish. So why over here is forever, because it's two sins that they did. And we're going to see the difference between the nations of Am and Amoyev. Even Adoimi wasn't as bad as Am and Amoyev. Okay, next.
Like Amalek, they
speak
of Jewish, right?
What? No, well, other Mephoshim say an interesting... Well, there's a good point about Amalek. I'll mention that in a second. Some Mephoshim say another interesting thing. Because somebody could say, listen, they were cheap. Amin and Amalek was cheap, so they didn't give the Jews food. But that's what Der says, Der explains, no, that's not a good enough reason. Because they hired Bilaam. And he had a high price. Remember the pasuk says, I need more money. So you can't say, in other words, like this. If somebody doesn't help out another Jew because he either doesn't have money or he's cheap, okay, you can't, that's his personality. But here the Torah says, no, they weren't cheap. Because when it came to curse the Jews, they even hired Bilaam for a tremendous amount of money. So it can be because they're cheap. So it's just because they're mean. There's a difference between cheap and mean. Here the Torah says they were pushed mean. Yeah. Now the Mephoshim, by the way, interestingly, discussed L'cheira Amalek. Why was Amalek? Okay, we should really wait until we get to Adami, because Amalek was a generation of Edom, and yet the Torah says soon we'll get there soon. You can't hate a person from Edom, even though Amalek there's a mitzvah to wipe him out. Okay, we'll see there. But here there's a whole different interesting story. We know. We mentioned this briefly last time, but there's a lot of details over here. When Rus wanted to convert and marry Boaz, so they said there was a closer guy, Pliny Almoni. The guy was closer to redeem her. So they came to Pliny Almoni, that was his name, Pliny Almoni, and he refused to marry Rus. Why did he refuse to marry Rus? Because he said, when the Torah says, L'yavi amayni umayavi bekal Hashem, you can't have a nation of Am and Amayav, it means male and female. And because Rus was a convert of Mayav, you can't marry. The Torah says explicitly you can't. Boaz, on the other hand, didn't agree with that. And Boaz said, and we'll soon see the details of this din, Boaz said that it only applies to a male, amayni, v'loy amaynis, mayavi, v'loy mayavis. And the Mepharshim explain what's the difference? Why is there a difference between male and female over here? And they explain very simply. The Pasuk says, because they didn't greet you with food. Who goes out? The men. The women don't go out to meet people. Kol kvudu v'smelach panima, right? The women stay indoors. So therefore, the reason that the Torah says, in fact, the Mepharshim explained, like by mitzvah, it doesn't say why for three generations they can't come. It doesn't say. By Am and Amayev, it says the reasons. Why? Because the Torah is explaining, this is what the Gemara learned. The Torah is explaining the reason, because they didn't give you food. And who hires Bilaam? Not the women. The women didn't hire Bilaam. The men hired Bilaam. So therefore, the reasons, the Torah is explaining us the reasons to show that it only applies to the male, not to the female. But there's a very interesting thing. There's a whole story in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, that you know when, as the world calls them, David and Goliath. When David HaMelech, when Goliath started coming 40 days and he starts saying, fight me, and everybody was afraid of him. So David HaMelech came to Shaul HaMelech, and David HaMelech said to Shaul, I'll go fight Goliath. So Shaul asked him, Mi anarazeh? Ben mi anarazeh? Whose kid is this? What's the question? He knew who David HaMelech was. He dealt with him before. The psukim say, Shaul knew David, because it says he loved him and he used to carry his ammunition for him. So all of a sudden, Shaul HaMelech says, who's this kid? You didn't know whose kid it was. So the Gemara says, what happened? Shaul HaMelech wanted to know if he's from Peretz or from Zorach. Why? Because if it's from Peretz, then he could be a king. So therefore, he has these royal powers in him. Okay? So Doigo Adoimi, who was the head of the Beis Din, who David HaMelech learned two things from, but he was really not a good guy. He said to Shaul, Doigo was also. No, the two things, but I'm saying Doigo Adoimi was part of that gang. We'll soon see. So Doig said to Shaul HaMelech, why are you asking if he could be a king? Why don't you ask if he's a Jew? Because Doeg said to Shaul, Amaini and Amainis, male and female. And they knew that David HaMelech came from Rus. So Doeg says to Shaul HaMelech, why are you asking if it's fit to be a king if he's coming from Beretz Zarach? Right? Why'd you ask Bechal if he could be Jewish? So what happens like this? 1 minute. So Shaul HaMelech asked in the Beis Medrash. Here's what it says. So now the Doeg questioned the authenticity of David HaMelech. So they asked the Shailim. So they told him, no, Ameini v'le Ameinis, Mayavi v'le Ameinis. So he said it only applies to the male, not to the female. And David HaMelech, so Rus was allowed to convert, right? Because she was a female. Okay, so all of a sudden, Daig and Shaul asked him all the questions that the Gemara asked, that L'chayr should apply to male and female together. 1 second. And the Chacham were quiet. They didn't have what to answer. In other words, like this. Shaul HaMelech wanted to know if he's fit for a king. Daig says, B'chali's not Jewish. He comes from Rus. And Rus can become a marry into the Jewish people. So he's B'chal, not allowed to be a Jew. So they asked in the Beis Medrash. So the Beis Medrash said, no, females could. But they started refuting it. Shaul HaMelech and Doeg started refuting the Beis Medrash. And they had nothing to answer. So what happened? So they wanted to call, announce that David HaMelech was not a kosher child. So Amosei Charbei, this guy Amosei, put his sword, and it says, whoever doesn't know this halacha, I'm going to kill him. This is what the Beis Din of Shmuel HaRamasi, the Beis Din of Shmuel said, Ameini v'lei mayavis, v'lei amein mayavi v'lei amein. And he said, Shmuel HaNavi paskind, that a female mayav convert is good, and therefore David HaMelech is kosher. The Gemara tells another interesting story, and this is a Medrash, not a Gemara. Maybe it is in Gemara. But Yishai, David HaMelech's father, who was a descendant of Rus, heard once that the halacha was that Rus was not kosher, because it applies to male and female. So Yishai said to Mrs. Yishai, I can't stay married to you. I'm not kosher because I come from Rus. So he separated himself from his wife. His wife was of the opinion that it doesn't apply to females, Rus, and therefore he's kosher. So whatever the story is, she came to him in the middle of the night when it was dark, and she became pregnant from him, from Yishai. The wife came back to Yishai, became pregnant from him. Yishai found out that his wife is pregnant, so he maintained it's from another man. And therefore the kids are mamzer. When David HaMelech was born, it's a very interesting, people don't know this about, David HaMelech had a miserable life. When David HaMelech was born, Yishai threw him out of the house because he was a mamzer. In his opinion, it was a mamzer. It wasn't because it was from Mrs. Yishai. Mrs. Yishai got pregnant from Rabbi Yishai, not from another man that Yishai suspected her of. So what happened was, they threw him out of the house. David HaMelech was an outcast. After Shaul HaMelech was thrown off the kingdom for not killing out Amalek, so Hashem said to Shmuel, go pick one of Yishai's children to be the next king. He came to Yishai's house, He said, show me all your kids. Of course, David HaMelech was not part of the family at that time. He showed him, he had a bunch of kids. Shmuel HaNavi looks at each kid. He says, no, 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 no. All the kids are no. So he said to Yishai, you have any other kids? Because all these are no's, and Hashem told me to pick a king. So finally, David HaMelech came. And Shmuel looked at him and says, you're the king. So then Yishai realized that David HaMelech wasn't a mamzer, and the whole story came out into the open. But for many years, they thought David HaMelech was a mamzer because of this whole mix-up, if Ruth was a kosher lady or not. Instead, but for the halach is, from the whole time, she was definitely, Ruth was no problem at all, and therefore there's 100% no problem. What?
So, what about the fact that a person's mother is Jewish? Automatically makes them Jewish?
No, but Ruth was not allowed to convert.
Yeah, but you said Mrs. Yishai was, she was a Jewish woman, right? Jewish.
Yeah, but he thought it was from a different man who wasn't him. She didn't divorce her, he just separated from her. But she was still married. And she got pregnant. But he thought it was from a different man.
He was Jewish.
Why Ruth couldn't convert?
Huh?
Why Ruth couldn't convert?
Because the Pasuk says, Amon and Moav can convert. By the way, the Torah doesn't say Amon and Moav can't convert. Le'yaveh b'kal Hashem means he can't marry a Jewish person. The Torah is not saying that an Amon HaMoav man cannot convert. Just like a Mamzer is a full-fledged Jew, but he cannot marry a Jewish woman. A convert from Amon HaMoav is 100% Jewish, except he cannot marry a Jewish girl.
He has seven sons.
That was before he heard that he wasn't kosher because he was told that Ruth, male or female, cannot marry into the Jewish people. And Ruth married Boaz, which she wasn't allowed to do according to him. So then David HaMelech wouldn't be a kosher chick kid. Mm. Right? So that's what happened. So the bottom line is, and as we'll soon see when it comes to the mitzvah, this whole din today doesn't apply. Even the time of the Gemara doesn't apply. Why? Because the Gemara says, Bas Sancherev, Ubilbil Asa'ilam. Sancherev came in the days of Chizki HaMelech. Sancherev wanted to destroy, he wanted to rule the world. So what Sancherev did was he took all the nations and made a move to different countries. He made Mitzrayim move to this, and this country to move there, and Ammon to move here, and Moav to move here. Everybody was moved all over the place. Says, why did he do that? Because if you're not on your home turf, automatically you don't have the strength that you would if you're home. So what he actually did was, he mixed up the whole world. Right? To keep stronger control of everybody. So therefore the Gemara says, when somebody, even, let's say, in Egypt, an Egyptian converts, today he doesn't have a din of an Egyptian. Because the majority of the world are not Egyptian. And this that he came from Egypt is because people from different countries came to Egypt and there's a whole mishmash of all the world. So therefore, today, halachically, if somebody from the nation of Ammon, whatever nation that would be, converts, he right away can marry a Jewish girl. Because we assume he's not from Ammon and Moav, the Gemara says, because Sancherev came and mixed everybody up, and therefore every person, you look at the majority of the world, and the majority of the world is not from Ammon and Moav, or Mitzri, or whatever it is, so they can get married. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. So now the Pasuk says like this. Pasuk Vav. V'le'ava Hashem alakecha l'shmeya Bilam. Hashem didn't want to listen to Bilam. And God reversed the curse as a blessing for you. Why? Because God loves you. But the question is like this. What is the Pasuk saying? That Bilaam cursed, and Hashem turned the curse to a blessing. That's what the Pasuk says. He didn't curse.
He wanted to.
Yeah, but he never did. It's not that he said a curse and Hashem transformed the curse to a bracha. But the Pasuk says over here, Vayafech Hashem Elokecha Lecha es haklola livracha. But the Pasuk should have said Hashem got him to give you a bracha. But you can't say he transformed the curse into a bracha if he never cursed. So the Gemara says an interesting thing. By wicked people, bad thoughts God considers like an action. Because Bilaam wanted to curse, he didn't actually, because he only spoke what God told him to speak. The fact that Bilaam wanted to curse, so Hashem considers it as if he actually cursed, as far as punishing him. No, only going. But that's what the Mefarshim answer, that he didn't actually curse, but he wanted to curse. Okay? So therefore the Torah says like this, in the concluding this part, Le'sidre shleimam v'tevasam, you're not allowed to seek to make peace with them, or their welfare, kol yamecha le'elam, all the days of your life. Meaning, even though the Pasuk says later they can live with you, but you shouldn't care about them at all. So according to this, by the way, you wouldn't be allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to a guy from Amin Amayev. Lepel, today it doesn't matter because there's no Amin Amayev, like we said. Everybody's mixed up. So it's not a problem. What?
So, by Klal Yisrael, when we came into the land, we had Har Grizim and Har Arval and the curses and the blessings and all these things.
What?
So what?
That was God cursing the Jewish people if they sin. Bilaam was cursing the Jewish people because he hated them. Number one. And even as Rashi says over there at the end, God's curses, all they are is hidden blessings. They call the klal, the teichecha, all that is really hidden blessings.
Because he's so sweet.
God doesn't curse. God only makes it in the way that we think it's a curse.
Like when
a nice guy, God.
Very nice.
When Hashem says, hide my face, isn't that what happens? Hashem kind of like hides. Or not hides.
He doesn't reveal himself, but he doesn't curse. He doesn't curse.
But that may be why we see it as if he's not.
No. Okay. No. Okay. Then the Pasuk says, Leisa Saiva Daimi. And Adam and Mitzrayim is going together over here in the same halacha. You cannot hate or reject an admoni, ki achicho, he's your brother. You know, they come from Esav, right? Esav and Yaakov are brothers. Leisesayv Mitzri, do not reject an Egyptian, ki ger hayisa ba'artin. This is a phenomenal concept. This is a phenomenal concept of what it means to show appreciation. The Pasuk says, don't reject, don't despise an Egyptian because you lived in his land. Let's think about this a second. The Jews were enslaved to Egypt. They made them work despicable type of work, right? If anything, there's a very strong reason to hate them. What does the Torah say? The Torah says, because you lived in their land, they hosted you, don't hate them.
Kind.
Yeah, but you know what that is? Kind. Hashem said you lived in a country. Okay, let's put it into modern terminology, which I don't know if it applies, but a Jew in Germany, a Jew who live in Germany should be nice to the country because that's where they live. I would look what they did to the Jews. Right? Pari was throwing the kids into the river to kill them. Okay, Hashem miraculously saved them. But as far as he was concerned, they were killing the people. There's a story with Dal Rebbe. When Dal Rebbe got out of prison in Yutes Kislev. So, Dal Rebbe was going to a chassid who lived on the second floor. There was a duplex. There was a misnagid that hated the chassidim lived on the first floor. And now Altrebbe's Chassid lived on the second floor. In opposition to Hasidim. They don't exist today. They think they do, but they don't. Now, the Altrebbe was supposed to be taken from prison when he got Yitzchak Kislev to this Chassid's house on the second floor. And a whole bunch of people gathered on the second floor. By mistake, whoever it was took the Altrebbe to the first floor, to the Misnagid's house. And the Misnagid, for a long time, was degrading the Altrebbe, yelling at him, screaming at him, belittling him.
How inappropriate.
Good point. Meanwhile, the Chassidim are waiting upstairs for the Altrebbe to come. And they didn't know that he was brought downstairs. So meanwhile, one of the Chassidim went down. A few of the Chassidim went down with a non-Chabad Chassid also went down. To see, maybe the Misnagid knew where the Altrebbe was, because the enemies also collaborated. Anyway, they come down, they see the Altrebbe sitting, and the Misnagid is belittling the Altrebbe. So the Chassidim wanted to give him a whack in the face. And the Altrebbe says, don't touch him. So the non-Chabad guy says, you're not my Rebbe, I don't have to listen to you, give him a head, hit in the head. Anyway, but the Altrebbe was drinking tea. The guy offered him tea. And the Altrebbe was drinking tea. So the Chassid said, Rebbe, let's go. The Altrebbe said, out of courtesy to the host, I will finish the tea.
After he
crossed
him out?
He said, out of courtesy. That's exactly what the Pasuk saying here. Think about it. Look at the Pasuk saying. Don't hate the Egyptians because you lived in their land. When you lived in their land, they tortured you. Yeah. It doesn't matter. He says, Rashi says, Alpha Pisha Zarku Zachri, same Liyard, even though they threw the male kids into the river, they killed the kids. Nevertheless, Matam, Shoyla Machsanya Bishasatchak. In the time of need, during the hunger years in Egypt, you know, when Yaakov went down, so because they hosted you, be nice to them. Uh-huh. Now, just one second. It's just, if you think about it, the Torah's approach
kindness is
ultimate kindness, even if the person doesn't deserve it. Think about it.
It's harsh.
The Egyptians, if you think about it, why should the Egyptians deserve kindness? And therefore the Torah says only three generations cannot become a Jew.
Why three generations?
Because it's not a permanent. In other words, by the way, which means like this, how do you have three generations? What happens is like this. Egyptian male convert marries an Egyptian female convert. They have kids. Those kids marry another Egyptian convert. And then their kids becomes a third generation. Because they can't marry a regular Jewish girl for three generations. What?
I was always curious about why the Altrebbe had to go through that predicament after what
the Altrebbe said, it's all printed in that the 3 hours by the Misnagid was more torture to him than the 53 days in prison.
So what was the point? Why did Hashem want him to go through that?
I guess there are final refinements that had to be done. Final refinements. That's the Ebershter's business, but you could say that this was he had to have those refinements from a Jew. The torture that he was in prison with from the Goyish, the Russians. They're a Goyim. But this had to come from somebody who had free choice to do it or not. The Goyim didn't have free choice to do it or not, because they only have free choice in the seven Noahide laws. Right? Putting Altrebbe into prison is not one of the seven Noahide laws. So that came straight from God without any free choice of their own. But the Jew did it, they had to go through the free choice of the Jew, you know, doing what he did. But even then, what did Altrebbe say? Courtesy to the host. In other words, you repay evil with kindness. What's the philosophy behind that? It's a very interesting thing. Why does God want us to do it?
Because you fight fire with water. You don't fight fire with fire.
Why did God want us to do it?
Do what?
To fight, to repay evil with good. Because that's what God does. That's what God does.
And
this means, what's that? Mida connected mida. Meaning like this. If you call it, as we say in America, call a spade, okay? Meaning, we're going to learn soon about a spade. I don't know if we got that today, but we'll learn about a spade soon when you go to war. Hashem gives us mitzvahs to do. Let's think about it from a parav point of view, an objective point of view. God gives us our entire existence. Our life is dependent on God. You wake up in the morning, you know, some people don't. You have what to eat. Everything comes from Hashem. Everything comes from Hashem. Hashem says, listen, you know, really, your whole life should be mine. But don't give me your whole life. All I'm asking is, you know, do mitzvahs like this, this mitzvah, that mitzvah, that mitzvah, you know. Do the good things. For your benefit, by the way, not for my benefit.
Exactly.
For our benefit. And we don't. We definitely don't do it. Can you imagine somebody saves your life? Somebody, just picture this. Somebody saves your life. Mamish saves your life. He asks you to do a favor for your benefit, not for his benefit.
And you say no.
And you spit him in the, now you say no. You spit him in the face. Yeah? Correct? And how does he react?
Kindness.
He'll still be kind to you. What does that mean? That's what God does. He says, your life is, one thing, your life is dependent on me. Hashem says, your life is dependent on me. I give you existence. I give you a little bit of mitzvahs for your benefit, not for my, God doesn't need us, but it's for our benefit. And yeah, we spit him in the face, so to speak. And God says, you know what? You're still going to get up tomorrow morning. I'm not going to kill you in your sleep. Right? That means, how does Hashem repay evil? With kindness. So Hashem says, if that's what I do, that's what I want you to do. Because when you do it, then I will do it to you also.
Rabbi, you say, Ayin for Bur Ayin. What's the, if you want to punish somebody? This
no, the Torah says, Ayin Tachas Ayin doesn't mean eye for eye. That's what the Goyim say. You mean money, Rashi says, and the Gemara says. It means money, you have to pay money. You have to pay money. It doesn't mean knock out an eye. You cut off somebody's hand, God forbid, you don't cut off your hand. You pay the money of it. What?
I was wondering, before a soul comes into the world, do they choose to be a Jew or a boy? How does that, is that how it works? I don't know. I wonder.
Does who Jew? Who chooses?
What?
Does who choose?
The person before he comes into the body, the soul before he comes into the body.
You know, I have a choice. No, they're Jewish souls and Goyish souls.
But I'm saying, does the soul know that it's going to be a Goy or a Jew?
Sure.
Before they come.
Sure.
So then the Goy have no choice. They have no choice.
Nobody blames the Goy for being a Goy. Therefore, if a Goy is a Goy, let him be a Goy. That's why we don't go. Why don't we go out to convert Goyim? Because God made him a Goy, let him be a Goy. If a guy comes to convert, it's because it's a Jewish neshama. They got lost, and therefore it's coming back.
So this is the people that they lost neshama. The people they want to transfer to the
right.
And
lost neshama has come back. That's like we said, gesh in this guy, not goish in this guy. The ged, and we learned. Aruch Chaim says at the beginning of Parshat Kisei, in fact, that at the time of Eitz Hadas, a lot of Yiddish and neshamas got lost amongst the goyim, and that's the concept of gedim.
So
did
Adam have Jewish souls and non-Jewish souls? In him?
A nefesh and neshama is chelak olakam mimal mamish, part of God. Then we have a nefesh abamis, right? Goyim have a nefesh abamis. They don't have a nefesh olakis. The neshama of a Jew is a Jewish neshama. What God chose, which is interesting, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, when we say in davening, ubanu bacharta mikol am v'loshen, God chose us from all nations, right? Or we say, Shebacha banu mikol amim. We get an aliyah, right? What does it mean God chose us? Choosing, free choice, is when two things are exactly equal. If I have gold and silver and I choose one over the next, it's not choosing because gold is better than silver. For me, silver is better than gold, whatever it may be. If I have two cups, one's red and one's white, and I choose one over the next, it's not free choice. I have a preference to white or red. Free choice, by the way, also if they have two cups, two exact cups, these two exact cups, one's here and one's here, and I choose one over the nether, it's not free choice. I might have a preference of right over left. It's not free choice. Free choice is when two things are exactly equal, and you choose one over the next. Correct? That's what free choice is. So now the Alter Rebbe explains when the Pasuk says, Ubono Bacharta, Mikol Am Veloshim, God chose, what did he choose? The Jewish neshama over a Goyish neshama. They're different neshamas. He can't say he chose. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe explains, what did God choose? The body of a Jew that looks like the body of a Goy, besides the nose, before the nose drops. The body of a Jew that's exactly like the body of a Goy, God chose this body to be Jewish, and not this body. But the neshama, it's a different neshama. You can't say God chose one over the next. It's different.
But that's what I was saying. It seems like a little unfair that a guy that could be a Jew is given a Goyish soul.
I mean, it's because he's supposed to be a Goy. Let me ask you a question. You have a head.
Yeah.
You have a heart.
Yeah.
You have a foot.
Yeah.
Okay. Is your foot ever jealous of your head? Why? Why did he become a foot and not a head? Why? Because this is what it is. This is what it is. Right? God made this person a guy. God made this person a Jew. Why? There's no. It's different. Different missions. So the Alter Rebbe says, though, you can't say he chose a Jewish neshama over a Goyish neshama because they're different. What God chose, and this is what we say, Ashebacha banu mikolam, or Avanu v'charta mikol avalosha, means that this body is a Jewish body and this body is not a Jewish body. Okay, but we got off. Okay, so he says like this, banu ashe yivoldu lehem dar shlishi, okay, the children of the third generation, yavir lehem bekal Hashem. So now Rashi says like this. All other nations, as soon as you convert, you become a Jew. I mean, you can marry a Jewish guy or a Jewish woman, right? Why by Edom and Mitzri does the Torah say three generations? Why? So Rashi says in the Medrash, because a person who causes a person to sin is worse than the one that wants to kill him. And therefore he says like this, Edom, and that's the difference between Am and Amayav.
Yeah,
Am and Amayav caused the Jews to sin. But Edom, that only came by a sword, and the Egyptians had drowned them, they're not so bad. Because when you kill somebody in this world, they go to the next world. But if you make them sin in this world, they don't have the next world either. And that's the difference.
Can a Jew make another Jew sin?
What?
Can a Jew make another Jew sin?
Of course he do. What do you mean?
Normal.
No, because here we're talking about Amon and Moab.
Yeah, but a Jew that makes somebody else sin is also bad, but he's Jewish.
Yeah, but like on Sabbath, the Uber driver, the driver is Jewish himself. So I usually have them open the door for me, correct? No, I'm serious with you. I'm very serious with you. No, I'm serious. So he's driving me, and then it just so happens that he's Jewish. So he takes me to my car, and I said to him, can you open the door? And then I said to myself, well, he's a Jew.
What's the difference?
Well, what is better, for me to sin or ask him to sin? So I opened my own door, because I said I prefer to sin myself.
Okay, let's not get into that. No, it's not. Okay, now.
Don't you think so? He was right.
What?
That he opened the door and.
Yeah, he's not. It wasn't Rome, by the way.
What?
No, I'm saying you weren't.
You're a nice guy.
You're a nice guy.
Yeah. Well, I prefer to take the sin rather than have faith in the sin.
God likes you too much.
That is for sure.
But, you know, many people ask a question. If somebody wants to convert, make sure they have to be religious, and if not, we don't hear. I'm talking about a proper halachic conversion. They have to be 100% from, and if they're not from, they can't become a ger, right? All that stuff. So people ask the question, 1 minute. There's so many non-religious Jews. So what's the, what's wrong with a few more? What's wrong with a few more?
Thank you for a few good people.
But I'll tell you, the answer is very interesting. You see it in the world. If you want to get a visa to America, you want to move to America from the permanent residence, yeah? So part of the visa process is to get a medical exam. If you be medically fit. So the question is, there's so many sick people in America, a few more, what's the big difference? What's the answer? The answer is very simple. And don't mind my language, but the guys that are not religious, we're stuck with. But to bring more in, that we don't have to do. No, the sick people in America, we're stuck with. We have no choice. There are people that are sick, so we have to deal with them. To bring in more sick people that are not our people, well, what do you need it for? And that's the whole concept in conversion. Why? You have to be very strict with the conversion. There's so many non-religious Jews. The non-religious Jews who are Jews are Jews. We have to deal with it. We have to make them spiritually healthy. They're not religious, so they're spiritually sick, so to speak. We need to make them healthy. But to bring in more people, that we don't have to do. And that's the difference between them.
Yeah, this is the reason that in Jewish law it's hard to be converted?
Yeah. First, yeah, but there's a halacha that when a person comes to convert, yeah, you have to try to talk him out of it. But then the halacha says clear, once you see that they're sincere, you're not allowed to push them off anymore. That's what we learned that from Ruth, by the way, with Naomi. When Ruth says her mother-in-law says, go back to, you know, she says, no, I'm going where you're going. So she said, no. But after she saw Ruth was serious, then she accepted her. That's the halacha. And the Rebbe once spoke, it was a living Torah many, a while ago. The Rebbe even spoke, because like we said before, if there's a Yiddish and a Shamit that's coming back to become Jewish, if it's a Yiddish and a Shamit that wants to become Jewish, and you're not going to accept them, so you're really pushing away a Jewish neshama. So you have to make sure it's a Jewish neshama by seeing that they're sincere and they want to. And once you see they're sincere, then you can't push away a Jewish neshama. It's a Jewish neshama that's coming to convert. That's the difference. Okay, we'll leave it here today. Wow.